Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is verse number 9 of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now these words here of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 have been described by a preacher of a bygone day as God's blockade on the road to hell. This is because these are words that tell of God's patience with sinners. Now in this chapter here, the Apostle Peter, he tells us about the Lord's return. That time when Christ will come back in power and in great glory to judge the sinful world. In verses 3 and 4 of the chapter there, you'll see how Peter speaks of those who mock and who laugh at the thought of Christ's return. He says in verse 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." My, because the return of Christ is delayed to God's appointed time, there were those in the day of the Apostle Peter who did not believe that Christ would return again in power and in great glory. And my, it is still the same today in our own day and generation. My, there are multitudes tonight out in the society of the world, and they do not believe on the return of Christ. They mock the very thought that someone should say that Christ is coming back again. They laugh at it in disbelief, and my, they scoff at it. Well, my, the Bible will show us that the reason for the delay in Christ's coming to this world is outlined for us here in our text tonight in verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." My, Christ's certain return has been delayed to an appointed time in God's calendar, all because of God's patience with sinners. By in delaying Christ's return to an appointed time, God is one in mercy and in grace who gives sinful man time. He gives sinful man an opportunity to repent of his sins, to get right with God, and to be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And people, this is the great truth that is set before us here. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 9. Yes, these words reveal God's patience, God's long-suffering with sinners. And as we would look at this verse briefly tonight in this gospel meeting, it is this matter of God's patience with sinners that I want us to focus our hearts and our minds upon. First of all, I want you to see here the reality of God's patience. Look at how verse number 9 there begins. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Underline that word long-suffering there in the verse. It literally means to suffer long. It means to have long patience. And it really proves the reality of God's patience with sinners. The psalmist David reminds us of that very same truth back in Psalm 86, in the verse number 15 of that psalm, when he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous, and mercy, and in truth." And there David tells us that God is one who is patient. He is long-suffering. And again, the Apostle Paul reminds us of the very same truth in his letter to the Romans in Romans chapter 9
And the verse number 22, there Paul speaks of God. He says, enduring with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Oh, people, tonight, as you and I would think of the Lord, we can say here from our text, from the word before us, that the Lord is one who is patient with man. The Lord is one who is long-suffering towards man. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're still unsaved, oh, this is something you need to realize. This is something that you need to understand. My in grace, God has been patient with you. In grace, God has been long-suffering towards you as an individual before Almighty God. And can I say this, that every time in your life's experience that you have been called to come to Christ for salvation, every time you have heard that call, it's all a token, an evidence, a proof of how God has been patient with you and of His long-suffering and His kindness toward you. Now the hymn writer says, O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long as He called thee in vain, He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and in pain. And my every time that you have heard that call to come to Christ for salvation, it's a proof, it's an evidence, it's a token of God's long sufferings towards you, God's patience with you as an individual. Oh, see what it says tonight in our text. It says, the Lord is long suffering to usward. Oh, the long sufferings of God. Now, our text here would show us that the patience of God here is linked very definitely to the return of Christ. You look there at the very next verse after our text. Look at verse number 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And that is speaking about the return of Christ, the second coming of the Lord. Think of that and think again of what is said at the beginning of verse 9, our text, where it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. What does it mean? In other words, the promise of Christ's return will one day happen. It will one day come to pass. But because of God's patience and God's long suffering, it will not happen, it will not come to pass until God's appointed time, the time of His appointment and decree in God's own calendar. You see, in grace, God gives the ungodly time. And you see that all through the Bible. In grace, He gives the ungodly time to prepare for the return of Christ. To prepare how? By them getting saved. And by the ungodly getting right with God. Can I say tonight, dear people in this meeting, that the day of Christ's return, I tell you, is fast approaching. It is coming. And it will be a day of judgment for the ungodly. The Bible shows us it will be a day when this world will be burned up with fire and with brimstone. Look at verse 7 of the chapter. It says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, that's God's decree, God's word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Look again at verse number 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night suddenly, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein, it says, shall be burned up. What a day it will be when Christ comes in power and in great glory. You know, the Bible speaks of the ungodly crying out, praying to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb when Christ comes again in power and in great glory. The other day, I was just speaking to a brother in the Lord about a matter later on in the year. And in conversation with him, he says, maybe the Lord will have come back by then. Maybe the Lord will have come back by then. The Bible says, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, that the Son of Man come. A friend, if you are found unsaved on that day, Let me say this, the Bible makes it clear that Christ will be your judge, and that you will be cast into the lake of fire, and there you will suffer eternal punishment for your sins. What an awful day it will be to be found out of Christ. And the day of Christ's return, and the day of Christ's judgment. But what does our text show you tonight, friend? This verse shows you that day has not yet come. Why? Because God is patient with you. God is long-suffering. He's a long-suffering God. Yes, here we see the reality of God's patience, but not only the reality of God's patience. Notice secondly here, the object of God's patience. You look again at what our verse says. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as is long-suffering to usward. Notice that word usward there. Underline it in your Bible. That word there refers to Peter. Peter here is including himself. And that word usward, and not only himself, but all those to whom he was writing this letter to. You think about that. And then ask yourself the question, what was Peter like before he was saved? You know, Peter was an apostle. He was a disciple. He was a saved man. But what was Peter like before he was saved? Peter was a sinner in the sight of God. Peter was a sinner bound for a lost eternity in hell itself. You remember Peter's confession in the very presence of Christ. He was one who is infinitely holy. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He recognized himself as a sinner in the presence of the Holy Christ of God. That is how it was with Peter. And can I say, that is how it is with every single one of us by nature and by practice. The Bible says, for all have sinned. And my, it is to sinners like Peter and like you and I, and indeed all the rest of mankind, that God is long-suffering toward, that God is patient with. My, as those who are sinners, my, we all, every single one of us, we have broken the law of God. The Bible tells us sin is the transgression of the law of God. Each one of us are guilty of breaking God's law, that law that is summarized for us in the Ten Commandments of God. Every single one of us are guilty of breaking the law of God. Also, as sinners, all of us have failed to live up to God's perfect standard. The Bible speaks of us and all the rest of mankind and says, there is none righteous and no, not one, no matter how hard we may try. And none of us are able to of ourselves to live a life that is perfectly pleasing to God. Every single one of us, we have come short of God's standard. The Bible says we've come short of the glory of God. You think of the words of the great apostle Paul. He knew that. Think of what he says in his letter to the Romans. He says, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He knew he was a sinner who had broken the law of God. He knew he was a sinner who had failed to live up to the perfect standard of God. And that is how it is with every one of us. No one here is exempt from this. Also, because of our sin, we're all guilty of rebelling against God, of going against the very will of God. You think of the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's how it is with us all by nature. We're all guilty of the rebellion of sin before God. There's not one here in the meeting that is exempt from this. And as rightly been said, that sin is man's declaration of his independence of God. And my, in our sinful, fallen nature and condition, we all have turned our backs upon God. We're all guilty of thinking that we can live and do without God in our lives. That's how it is with us all by nature, by practice. Breakers of the law of God. Feeling of ourselves to live up to God's perfect standard. We have all
gone astray from God by nature and practice in our sin. And can I say this, dear people? Our sin is something that is deeply offensive to God. Sin is something that is deeply grievous to God. The Bible makes that clear, that sin grieves God, who is infinitely and perfectly holy. You think of the words of the prophet Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 1 and the verse number 13, as he speaks to the Lord in prayer. He says these words. He says, "Lord, of pure eyes and to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." And there he sets before us the truth that God is grieved at our sin and the sin of all mankind. He cannot look upon iniquity. And my, it is because of our sins by nature and by practice that we are justly sentenced to eternal punishment and hell for our sins. In Psalm 9, verse 17, it says there, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." And my, hell in the lake of fire is what every one of us in this meeting justly deserve for our sins. Make no mistake about that. Hell is our just due. It's our just deserts for our sins and our iniquities before God. Yet despite this, despite the fact that we've sinned against God, thought and word and deed, despite the fact that we justly deserve the wrath of God in hell, what do we read tonight in our text? Think about that. Look at what is said there in verse number 9 here of 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "The Lord is long-suffering to usward." We who are sinners, we who are rebels by nature and practice against the holy God. In other words, the Lord is patient with you and I. You and I who have offended Him with our sins. You and I who have grieved Him 1,000 times over with our sins. Oh, surely, men and women, young people in this, do we not see the manifold mercy of God toward each one of us? Peter says the Lord is long-suffering to usward. Peter knew himself and he felt himself to be a sinner before God. And he knew that the Lord was long-suffering with him and patient with him. Yes, all of us are guilty of sin, in word and in deed and in thought before God. Yet it says here in this verse, the Lord is long-suffering. He's patient toward us, each one. Yes, sinners like you and I tell you, are the objects of God's patience and the long-suffering of God. The reality of God's patience, the object of His patience. Notice one final thought here in our verse. Notice the purpose here of God's patience. Look at the latter part there of verse number 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. It says there of the Lord that He's not willing. It says that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And by the purpose of the Lord's patience with you and I, what is it? It is that we would come, as it says there in the verse, spelled out in black and white before us. It is that we would come to the place of repentance toward God. The Bible says in Romans 2, verse 4, it says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And I believe we could rightly and justly paraphrase that verse by saying, yes, the patience of God, the long sufferings of God, leadeth thee to repentance. My people, can I say tonight that our repentance is absolutely vital to our salvation? Absolutely vital to our being saved. You see, the Bible would show us that there can be no salvation for us without repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ made that abundantly clear while He was here on earth. Think of what He says twice over in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. He says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And there Christ made it very clear. There can be no salvation without repentance from sin. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that faithful preacher of a bygone day, he said that Christianity, it starts with repentance. There can be no salvation without repentance. And as this is so, surely then it is vital that we know what is involved in biblical repentance. What does biblical repentance mean?
Biblical repentance really means you and I trusting in the person and in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. It means also a turning away from our sins before Almighty God, a turning of our backs upon our sins. It means faith in Christ for salvation and a turning away from sin. If you turn with me in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter number 1. In this opening chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, you have a wonderful description and outline there of what this repentance is before Almighty God. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse number 18. Look at what it says here. The Lord here is speaking to ancient Israel. And he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And what does that verse mean? It's a word of invitation. And there the Lord himself is inviting you and I to come unto him and to trust in him, to trust in his precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary for the cleansing away of all our sin before Almighty God. Friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you and I, if we are to repent of our sins, this is what we must do with our sins. We must confess our sins to Christ, the Son of God. And by faith alone, we must ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse away our sins by his precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. Tell me in this meeting tonight, have you come to Christ? Have you confessed your sins to Christ? Are you trusting tonight in the precious blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary for the cleansing away of your sin? Are you trusting in that shed blood to blot out your sins before Almighty God? Oh, can you testify tonight with the old hymn writer who said, "My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Have you come to Christ? Have you confessed your sins to Christ? Are you trusting in the shed blood of Christ for the blotting out of your sins? Then again, if you look at verses 16 and 17 of Isaiah chapter 1, notice again what it says there. It says, "Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." And here as God speaks to ancient Israel, he was speaking to them about repentance, a turning away from sin and a turning unto God. My, this, if you like, is the second part to our repentance. It means us turning away from our sins. That means a forsaking of our sins and a desire to live to the glory of God in our lives. You think of what our shorter catechism says about repentance unto life. It says repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner out of the true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ doth with grief and hatred of his sins turn from it unto God. The full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. What a summary that is of repentance before God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And I wonder tonight, as God looks upon your heart and upon my heart, as he looks upon your life and upon my life, tell me, does he see the fruit of repentance before God? As God looks down upon you tonight, does he see repentance from sin in your life? Does he see saving faith in Christ for salvation? The fact that you've sought Christ and trusted Christ as Savior and have repented of your sins. In the book of the Revelation, the Lord there speaks to us about a woman by the name of Jezebel. And this is what the Lord says about her in the book of the Revelation. He says, "I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. She repented not. In other words, she wasted her time, that opportunity that God had given her to repent of her sins, to get right with God and seek the Lord for mercy. Friend, don't you be like that woman that the Bible speaks of there in Revelation. Don't waste the time and opportunity that God gives you to repent of your sins and get right with God. Rather, heed the mercy of God. Consider the patience of God toward you. And in doing so, as a repentant sinner, lay hold upon Christ by faith. Embrace Christ by faith. Trust Him as your Savior. And I tell you this, in doing so, you'll find what? You'll find God's pardon. The forgiveness of all of your sins. You'll find God's peace. Peace with God, your Maker. You'll find God's power. Grace to live the Christian life. You'll find God's presence, for He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And my, you will find God's heaven a place in glory. For the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life." Praise God, when you come as a repentant sinner to Christ and you trust Him, yes, you're ready for death. You're ready for your departure from this world. But you're also ready for the coming again of the Lord and power and in great glory. Be ye also ready. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, make that preparation. Coming as a sinner unto Christ, come to the foot of the old rugged cross. Confess your sins unto Him. Trust Him for salvation. And by His power, seek to live day by day for His glory and for His honor. We're going to conclude our service tonight by singing together the hymn number 232. 232. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has He called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. We're going to sing the first and the last verse, verses 1 and 4, along with the chorus, standing as we sing and thinking of the words as we sing them. 232, verses 1 and 4.